You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com. Starting. Hey everyone, welcome to KoopaCast number 70, the good, the bad, and the E3. I'm your host, Matt, the multimedia manager of PNM and PureNintendo.com, your independent source for all things Nintendo. I am joined by two other people, Alex Schramke.
What's up?
And Trevor Gould.
Hi everyone, thanks for watching.
And maybe someday, Justin Sharp.
Our fearless leader, who's not here.
Yes. But I'm sure if he were here, he would say that I'm doing a good job and then I should get a raise. Thanks, Justin. And like the title of this KoopaCast suggests, we're going to talk about Nintendo's performance at E3 2015. Now, luckily, all of us here are part of the home team, and we were covering every aspect of Nintendo's digital event and posting news stories like crazy. So, you know, we all worked very hard on that. So we're very on top of what happened. So I just want to get some initial thoughts in before we go through the E3 list that we had 2 weeks ago. So, Alex, what did you think of the digital events?
It's one of those things where by the end of it, it left me feeling very meh. I wasn't like disappointed or enraged per se, but I wasn't really excited for anything either. I think it was really lacking like one big game that we didn't know was coming to show off, and I don't think that they had that. So overall, a meh out of 10.
Meh out of 10. All right. Trevor, what'd you think?
Well, I was like, not to get too off topic, Matt, but I feel like I can only see like half your face. Are you centered or is it my tablet?
I'm just off to the left.
Oh, okay.
Or right.
Kind of a mysterious, cryptic thing. But I was definitely, prior to E3, I had a lot of excitement. I was, you know, sitting, getting ready to watch the direct, and I was kind of bouncing in my chair. After the fact, you know, it was a bit of a letdown. I mean, compared to last year, and even more often than that, I would say it wasn't a great E3 by any stretch, but you know, just taking an optimistic approach, I think the games released are going to be fun, even if they're not going to be like a blockbuster title. So in that sense, I'm happy, although obviously I would like a little more kind of hype and positive press for Nintendo's performance, but it was what it was.
All right. And I had fun watching E3, but not because of the games at all. It was all the puppets.
The puppets sold it, really. That was the best
Muppets,
part.
Really, because they were done by Jim Henson, or the Jim Henson Company.
It was good they had those, because it kind of, you know, we were so busy smiling and laughing, it sort of took some attention on the fact that a lot of the games we were hearing about were games that we already knew about.
Yeah, and in the course of the games we didn't know about, we're kind of lukewarm reception there. Or a cold reception, or protest reception.
We'll wait before we touch.
We have to talk about it. I said we were going to talk about it in the post, so we got to talk about it.
So yeah, just get it out of the way right now, and just.
Do we want to get it out of the way right now? Just kind of rip off the Band-Aid?
Yeah, then we can end on more positive notes.
All right. So, let's talk about Metroid Prime Federation Force.
The fan favorite, the star child of E3. You know what? I can't really say anything too negative about it until I try it for myself. Granted, I'm not the biggest Metroid fan, so I understand how a lot of people could be disappointed. It's like, oh, we've been waiting for a Metroid Prime game. Other M was really disappointing, and now they're giving us this crap. I get where the disappointment is coming from, but I think you should try it with an open mind. I think that the fact that there is a spin-off title is good news because it lets you know it's like, hey, Metroid Prime is on our minds, on our radar. Usually they put these kind of like side games to tide you over until something in the main series can come out. So it shouldn't be all bad news.
Yet,
Please understand.
graphically, I mean, the Samus not being there aside, graphically, it just doesn't look that appealing to me. Like, also the preview and like the character designs all look very bland. Aside from like the HUD display, I didn't really see anything that would tell me that this is a Metroid game or a Metroid Prime game. Like, if you took out the logo at all, would you know that this was a Metroid game, or would you think this is like a Metroid Prime inspired game?
Oh, that it was an inspired game.
Yeah, and that's a fair point, and a lot of people were speculating, did they kind of slap the name on there to appease people or to drive sales? I don't know. I think in terms of just the sheer hatred, I think that game is easily the worst of the show. Some people were talking about the Animal Crossing, but I think Metroids get that beat just in terms of, like, if you look at Nintendo's trailer, you see all the negative, is it thumbs down or how do they vote it?
Yeah, thumbs down.
And obviously the petition, which is, this is, people are within their right to do it. It's, the freedoms afforded to us, but it is foolish, and it's really not so much that I hate this game because we don't know enough about this game to know if we hate it or not. This game is not Prime 4. So if I can't have what I want, I don't want anything at all. It's a childish mentality. I'm like Alex, I want to wait and see, get it in my hand. Maybe they'll do demos or something, who knows? But I look at it with some cautious optimism. It is what it is. Like I said before.
Did you watch any of the Treehouse footage of Federation Force?
A little bit. I mean, I think they seem to be having fun with, multiplayer. I think that's obvious. It's focus, and I think that's probably what's annoying people because Metroid's known more for kind of your, it's more of a solo adventure. You're isolated by yourself, you're scoping out these big worlds, solving puzzles, and this is more of an action-oriented, multiplayer shoot 'em up. It's different from the core Metroid experience. It's more of like a bonus spin-off experience. I think if this was, if they had announced a genuine Metroid game, like a Prime 4 or, like a Super Metroid type game, and this was an aside to that, I think people would be looking at this game with some excitement. I think it's totally that, again, this isn't the game I wanted, so I hate it no matter what it is.
One thing I would like to plug in is we talked about graphics, and I'll agree, visually right now it's not very impressive. But you also got to remember that it's an E3 demo, so product is not final, and I'm sure that the graphics will improve.
Yeah, and it was funny too. Now that you mentioned that, I know some people were complaining about the characters, how they were shaped funny, but actually, if replaying Metroid Fusion, there's some at the start of that. There's some character models that kind of reminded me of this one. I think there's a lot of just people are clinging to things to hate, so they're going to grasp on anything. Whether it's the visuals or the blast ball mini game or,
Okay, hang on. That
this, that,
blast
the
ball
other
mini
thing.
game was, I don't understand the appeal of it at all. Like, I can't believe it got as much like camera time, I guess, as it did. Because for me, that looks like, that looks like a mini game that would be in Federation Force, not like this bigger title that looks like it's going to take up half the, half the software or whatever, half the development time.
Well, I mean, if you look at, I think, the Nintendo, like Treehouse and all that as a whole, there were a lot of, like, a lot of video repeats, probably because of just, there's only so many titles to show off. But, I think a lot of the footage compared to last year, where it seemed to be one, cool thing after the next, there were a lot of repeats this year, so there's going to be titles that have more focus than we would like to see.
But I don't know. I still think, if they had less Blast Ball and more Federation Force, I think people could have taken it at least a little bit more seriously, because then we would be like, oh, I mean, this is a spin-off, but we know Nintendo's like really giving it their all. They really got like a good team on this. But we kind of got like a minute long little thing, and 30 seconds of that was like, watch this guy score a goal with his laser cannon, And that, for me, that just did not build a lot of confidence.
Yeah, and it's true too that some games that can be really fun, but they aren't fun to watch. I have games I absolutely love playing, but they're not the sort I would seek out, like on YouTube, to watch a playthrough or anything like that. Maybe Blast Ball is going to be one of those games. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not gonna hold my breath for that, but
Be optimistic. It is what it is.
I'm too old for optimism. It's now just being slowly replaced with cynicism.
Well, anyway, well, that's good though. We got the supposedly bad game out of the way, so it should be
Right.
all uphill from here, right?
I
Yeah,
feel
should we just
better
go up the
already.
scale of like most disappointing to least disappointing? Then what would you say be number two and second most disappointing?
For me, it was probably that Fire Emblem and Shin Megami Tensei crossover. I had absolutely zero interest in that from what they showed off. And I even tried watching them play quite a bit of that at the Treehouse, and just there was no appeal there for me. Maybe I'm in the minority here,
No, I watched the Treehouse too, and I still wasn't sure what was going on. Like,
but.
writing the press thing for that was a nightmare. I think somebody else ended up doing it because I was just too confused. I'm like,
Yeah, it was
I don't
me.
understand. It's like everyone's singing, and demons are coming out through portals, and what's
Exactly.
going
You
on?
fight demons and you try to be a J-pop star.
Yeah,
That's
it was a.
Yeah, that's. I'd agree. For me, that was. Actually, I would say I found Metroid more interesting than that. Now, granted, I know very little about the series. I know a little bit of Fire Emblem, but I didn't actually see a lot of. A Fire Emblem in that. I thought it was more, dominated on the other side.
What I think
I
I
just
wanted to
thought,
say. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
oh no, I was just because I thought the footage looked dull, like the colored crowds were odd, and like I think one of you guys pointed out when we were watching it, even the boss they were fighting looked like he was falling asleep.
Yeah, he
And it
kind of
was
had like his
like,
head on his chin. He's kind of,
yeah, it was like,
why am I in this game?
I don't think that's going to be the worst received, but in terms of just the presentation, that was probably my least, the game I was least interested in. Who do
Yeah,
you
it's
have
just.
reviewing that? Is that Tristan who's going to review it?
Yeah, Tristan is all set to review that.
See, why is he going to review that? But we can't get him to do a like a
We're forcing him to review
what's
that.
that vocal aid's name? Hatsune.
Masune, Hakunu, whatever her name
But
is.
how did Tristan get it? Did he request it, or was he assigned
I guess he requested it. No, I don't think we assigned it. I was like, I talked to
it?
Justin about it because I was gonna like make the joke, say, "Hey, let's give this to Tristan," and then Justin came back with, "Yeah, we already gave it to Tristan." I'm like, "Okay."
That's awesome. Yeah, it was kind of bizarre to me that they focused so much. They put a lot of time showing off that game, and I think that they wanted people to get more of a sense for it. But like to me, it seems that the only people that are like really gonna enjoy it are like, and I say this in the nicest way possible, like
Oh, this ought to be good. Okay.
hardcore Japanophiles. People are just really obsessed with Japanese culture.
And Tristan.
Yeah, interesting. So it's like, because I can see the appeal there, because they were showing it off, and it was really cool how they're like, oh, this is a really accurate to the way, where were they at? Like, Shibuya or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I thought that was actually pretty interesting that they tried to faithfully recreate the streets. And I thought, okay, that would be kind of interesting, but
I mean,
other than
if you're
that,
a. I'm sorry, Alex.
no, I was kind of trailing off there. It's like other than that, I couldn't. There wasn't
I
much to
mean,
think
if
about.
you're a big RPG, if you're looking for an RPG-like type experience on the 3DS, it looks like it's going to offer a lot of content, but I mean, I would have rather seen more of like Paper Jam, and granted that's a 2016 title, but yeah, I don't know. I felt like it kind of, when that was shown on the treehouse, it kind of, slowed everything down, brought it to a crawl. For a show that admittedly wasn't, as exciting as it could have been anyway. But I was watching that and I'm just like, so just not my thing.
I'm glad they put it on Treehouse because I needed to know what that game was about.
It's gonna drive you nuts, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't figure it out. They showed that preview like 2 months ago, and I was trying to figure that out too. I was like, I don't understand. Is this like that Yu-Gi-Oh cartoon when I was a kid, but it's like with Pop Stars or something, or what's going on?
Oh man.
Maybe they figured if you didn't know, you would buy it just to find out because you'd be so curious. What is this?
I don't have that much faith.
I can see that because that's the trick that worked on me on another game that I'm going to review. I'm not going to talk about it right now. But I'm just going to hint that it may be one of the Ninty or Nindies that we covered in our showcase series.
Think I have a good idea.
So, I mean, I guess there's evidence that that strategy works. I was so intrigued that I want to know more.
Yeah. And of course, that may work for like a $5, $10 game, but for, a $40 game or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I just don't
I don't want to be a J-pop star, so there's no appeal there for me. I can deal with the RPG stuff, you know. Shin Megami Tensei is an awesome RPG. I haven't played much of Fire Emblem, but again, really good strategy turn-based RPG. So it seems like a cool idea. It's the J-pop star thing that's getting to me. I'm not sold on that concept. It seems kind of silly.
Yeah, but of course, I mean, you look at the 3DS installed base in Japan. I mean, that's where their thriving market is. So they're gonna, target
That's what I mean. Like, it
to
seems
their
more like a
audience.
Japan-centric game. And it's good when those titles come over here so that people who want to play them can. I just found it odd that they put so much focus on it because it seems like kind of like a niche market there for us in the US.
That's a
Well,
good point. If they were gonna localize like a Japanese-centric game, I wish they would choose some of the more quirky titles that, potentially would have more of a broad appeal.
Choose one of the more quirky titles, and then we come to this game. This game is pretty quirky, I gotta say. I mean, this we're not looking at like an FPS shooter here. We're not looking at Gears of War 3. We're looking at
I don't
whatever
know,
this
man.
is.
You
I've
ever
never.
played Freshly Picked Tingle's Rosie Rupee Land? That's about as crazy as it gets.
I don't know.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, what would you call this? Is it like it's like a JRPG, but the J stands for J-pop?
Yeah, I think that'd actually be a pretty good. That's actually pretty on point. Well done.
All right. And if you put that in a list of genres, that's the only game in that genre.
It's a pioneer, a trailblazer.
Oh, yeah.
It is. I mean, unless one of those Hatsune Miku games are, but I wouldn't know because Tristan won't review them.
It's like weird because so many people were looking forward to that Fatal Frame. And they didn't even put that like in the direct at all in the digital event.
No, but it wasn't the treehouse.
Yeah, it
Yeah,
wasn't the treehouse.
it kind of got buried on the last day, like, if memory serves.
It just seems like you would want to switch those two around. It's like hype up the one that people were wanting and then at the end, focus on the weird one that you're trying to sell us.
Well, there was pretty good demand for that the Shin Megami game or Shin Megami X Fire Emblem because I mean that was all a buzz the last year's E3 too. Like, where is it? Where is it? We want to see more of it, And they had to make it a point on that one of those Nintendo roundhouses that or roundtables that yes, they were still working on it. So obviously there's a demand, and Nintendo knows that it's a demand. And of course, here we go. Here's the answer.
So maybe that's it. I'm just a crotchety old American man. I don't understand it. So I guess I won't knock it anymore. I just don't understand it.
All right, so let's go a little bit more up the spectrum. Like to a kind of game. What do you guys got?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch you. What'd you say?
I said we're going a little higher on the spectrum now to like not just dislike, but kind of you know.
I wouldn't say dislike, but just in terms of general consensus, I would think maybe the Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival.
Oh yeah.
I think maybe people have warmed to it a little bit just because not only are they seeing like the range of the new Amiibos, but they're also it's been confirmed that this simple board game they showed is just but one part of the game. You know, there's going to be a lot more to it. There's going to be some kind of functionality with Happy Home Maker.
Yeah, Happy Home Designer.
So I think that's the sort of game that the more we learn about it, people are going to like it more. And I have a feeling if they have a good Amiibo bundle, it's going to fly. But I can definitely understand, based on the footage they showed, how a lot of people who were expecting a traditional Animal Crossing game could have been disappointed because it was very, you know, a very simplistic style board game. I don't think it looked at all like Mario Party, even though that's what people were saying, but it was simplistic.
It's kind of like some people are saying it's kind of like Fortune Street in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that.
It's like a but like a much happier Fortune Street or Monopoly, really. Because it had those kinds of scenarios. It wasn't just like, you lose $10. It was like, you get a bad haircut, lose $10. Or, except really, like I'm trying to pin the audience, and the audience seems like really young for this one. Because, like, I think all the examples were like, I played tag today, and I was really good at finding people, and they got $200. And the next one was like, we were going to play board games, but we played video games because it was raining outside. $100, you know.
I wish I could get 100 bucks every time I played a game. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. All I can say are games. Come on.
I do think of all of Nintendo's franchises, though, if any franchise is tailor-made for the Amiibo craze, it's got to be Animal Crossing because there's so many critters, and I can envision if, you know, if they do a full range of that, people, you know, going nuts. So I want to get so and so because I remember them from Wild World, or oh, this was my first character in the GameCube game, or you know, I think there's a big money maker potential, even if it's not going to be necessarily a critical darling.
Right.
Although I have to say, give me a Tom Nook bundle and I'm sold. I will buy the game if it comes with Tom Nook.
Isn't that kind of
But
ironic?
yeah,
Tom
it'd
will
be
make
great
you work
though.
for it.
You could unlock features, but then you have to pay to use the features.
Oh, DLC.
No, I think it'd be hilarious if they had a Mr. Rossetti amiibo. And if you forgot to save your game and you popped up, you could scan it in and it would skip the conversation. That'd be brilliant.
That would sell out in a heartbeat.
I'm telling you, man. It prints money. I like Mr. Rossetti though, so he needs an amiibo.
Yeah, and I think if it does reasonably well, and just given the popularity of Amiibo, I think that's going to be something they're going to really pursue. And again, I think that's just the ideal series to do a more Amiibo focused game. So, I'm actually kind of intrigued by it. I wouldn't say it's like a one of my top must have, but I was a little taken back by some of the negativity that I got, and Metroid for that matter too. But I understood Metroid a little more. But Animal Crossing just so cute. Like I watched the trailers and I was smiling. I'm like, hey, it's Animal Crossing, and you know. So the people who are knocking it are curmudgeons.
All right, yeah, they could be curmudgeons. So what about Happy Home Designer then? Are you guys also lukewarm on that?
That's the one I'm more excited to try because I do enjoy the designing aspect of Animal Crossing. That was my favorite thing to do in the games is each floor of my house would be like a different theme. And so it was a lot of fun collecting all the furniture to get that set up. So you're basically just taking that simple thing and making a more focused game on that. So to me, that sounds like a winner.
Yeah, it seems like a natural, I don't want to say evolution, but natural progression of the series. I'm wondering if the title might even do it a disservice because it seems a little more, comprehensive beyond just like home design. But yeah, I think it'll be cool. I think I was watching on the Treehouse how you can design your home, and then if you get the Amiibo game, your home will actually show up in that town.
Oh, that's
So
cool.
I think features like that are cool. And I mean, we all know how well Animal Crossing does on the 3DS with New Leaf, so I think it'll do well.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. And just kind of rewinding it back for a couple seconds, you were talking about the disappointment about the Amiibo Festival. And I don't know why it slipped my mind, but that was one of the predictions of this E3 was that we were going to see a Wii U version of Animal Crossing. And well, we kind of did, but it wasn't an Animal Crossing proper.
That's true, but
So, I mean, that it sounds like that's got the same case as Metroid Federation for us. It's like, hey, look, here's Animal Crossing board game. Here's Federation for or here's Metroid Prime Federation Force. Hey, we're all about transformation. So, I mean,
But at least the game's a better fit on 3DS. So I can forgive that. But yeah, the Metroid, I think, is we would have liked to have seen it at home.
yeah. Yes, I mean, obviously, what we're saying is please bring Federation Force to the Wii U.
Absolutely.
That's what we're disappointed in. We're not disappointed that there's no Samus game. We're disappointed it's not on the Wii U.
Well, they did say Samus would make an appearance. I don't know, if it's just going to be, a throwaway cameo or whatnot, but
She shows up at the end of each mission to give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
the thumbs down like another M.
Exactly.
I liked other M for the record.
Well, we'll get to that issue another day. Between that and the Skyward Sword conversation we had on a future show,
Oh, see, where's Justin?
I don't know. Nobody knows where Justin is. If somebody knows where Justin is, please let us know in the comments. All right. And from there, let's go from the let's start on the other side of the spectrum. Let's go best and work our way down. So, best of the show.
Gonna have to say, I think the one everyone's probably thinking is, well, maybe not you, Matt, but Star Fox.
You knew I was gonna undercut you with the Xenoblade Chronicles
I
X.
knew it. For me, it was Star Fox. That looked like a lot of fun. I think the game looks great so far, and I love the fact that they brought the little mobile walker from Star Fox 2, and that's finally seen the light of day. Because I may have found a Star Fox 2 game on the internet, and I may have found a way to play it on my computer, and that was like the coolest part was being able to transform into the little walker. So it'll be interesting to see how the levels will incorporate that.
I was definitely pleasantly surprised when they showed the walker, and that all the other vehicles will have like little transformations too. Like the tank becomes like a hover tank or whatever, like a little hover plane. And then there's like a drone, and you can drop a little rob, and he goes on the little corners.
And
So
no dinosaurs, guys. No dinosaurs. We're
yet.
safe. It's okay.
No, no dinosaurs yet. I don't know. We might shoot as dinosaurs.
Maybe they'll just be like a siege on Dinosaur Planet. It's like a bonus DLC.
It was top three for me. I think, and it's nice because a couple of the concerns I have, or I shouldn't even say concerns, but they've been addressed. Like visually, I thought the game looked fine, but a lot of people were chattering, oh, it doesn't look good, and you sort of kind of get swept up on that if you hear it enough. But I think it was James who said during one of their E3 directs that seeing it in person looked a heck of a lot better. And of course, there's still time before it comes out. And also the gamepad controls, I was wondering how I might adjust to those, but from what they've said, somehow they're going to be alternate schemes. I'm not entirely sure off the top of my head what they are, but I think it's good to have that option. I suspect I'll probably stick with the gyroscopic, the gamepad controls. But it's good to know there's an option for those that might struggle with that.
It
Oh,
sounded to
this.
me. Oh, sorry.
I was just gonna interject here. We actually got a question.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Tony Kaname Kuran, if I pronounced your username right, asks, did anyone know that Platinum Games is assisting Nintendo EAD on Star Fox Zero? And I did, and I'm personally excited for that because that's just gonna make the game even better, especially with what they did with Bayonetta. It's exciting.
If it's one thing that Platinum did really well with in Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2, where like the giant battles, like the battles with like giant enemies, and we kind of saw a little bit of that with the that worm thing, if you guys watch that sand level, to go rescue Peppy. They had a giant sandworm come out of the ground. You had to fight with the Landmaster, and I mean, I could kind of see a little bit of Platinum's work in that, or Platinum's hand in there. Just kind of watching that interaction between like this giant like 20-story thing, and like there you are, like a little like speck on this whole on the screen.
So now I have to wonder, in Bayonetta 2, they had that whole Easter egg with the Star Fox thing. You have to wonder, was that a very subtle hint at what was to come in the future?
Yeah, because
Yeah, you
Platinum
have to
Games would
wonder.
have, I mean, we wouldn't know, or Platinum Games would have already been underway with Star Fox, right?
Oh, definitely. I'm
So does that
sure the
mean they're
games
working
were.
on a new Metroid 2?
Oh, maybe. I guess we'll have to wait and find out.
Yeah.
But Tony, thank you for your question.
Yes, thank you very much. Let's see. I mean, you guys saw a little bit of The Walker too. I just wanted to touch up a little bit more about that. The first level they kind of showed off, the Corneria level. It's like you could be the Walker, but you didn't really have to. And I kind of wonder if there are going to be other other areas like that, or if there's going to be like more mandatory Walker areas in the game.
Yeah, well, I liked how they showed with like one of the boss battles how like you could use that and run around on the surface and like if you defeated the boss using that, I forget what kind of bonus you got, but or you could do it traditional way by flying around. But I like those options. I like how you can approach games a different way. I think it gives good replay value and it's just fun to, once you have the game in the hand, see, okay, this level's tough doing it this way. Let me try this way, or vice versa. I thought it was cool. I want to learn more about it.
Yeah, because if I remember, there are a couple things we still haven't seen. We haven't seen the Blue Marine, if anybody remembers that, based off of one level in Star Fox 64.
The best level. All those torpedoes, man.
I thought it was the most boring level actually, and it was like the road
Wow.
bump in order to get to like Sector 6 or something like that.
No, Sector Z, I think.
Sector Z, yeah. No, Sector Z, the one after Sector Z, Area 6.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about now.
See what I mean? We got, well, for one, it's their favorite, one, it's their least favorite, and maybe in Star Fox Zero, having multiple approaches to different levels, every level can be your favorite depending on how you play it.
That could
That
be
makes
very
sense.
true. All right, and moving on from Star Fox Zero, what else do we got?
Well, my favorite game, even though I do think it was overexposed, is going to be Mario Maker. I was,
Yes.
and I think it started with the Nintendo World Championships and how they were pulling out those wild levels, and the hype just kind of built up from there. I do think they showed it a bit much because they showed it every day and sometimes more than once a day.
But they
But
always
it's
didn't
not
have,
like, oh, go ahead.
but they always had something new to show you with Mario Maker, which was, a really
Yeah.
great advantage of the game. It's like, you mean at day one, you didn't see the same levels as day two,
Yeah. And
unless
it's not
you.
like it's the type of game like Star Fox where they can be potentially showing spoilers because that game is all user creation. And I know, like, even my wife caught some footage. She's like, "Oh wow, that's neat." So we're already thinking in our heads, some of the crazy mapping out in our mind, some of the crazy levels we might be making. And I definitely like the online aspect, and how you have to actually, anybody can make a ridiculous level, but you actually have to beat it yourself before you can share it.
Well, that's
So you
part of
can't,
the game design process. You can make
yeah.
one, but you gotta
You
play
can't
test it
just,
first.
yeah, you can't just troll your friends and be like, "Hey, beat this level of, nothing but bullet bills or whatever."
I'm
So that's
sure we're
gonna
gonna
be. Oh, go
I'm
ahead.
sorry. I was gonna say, I'm sure we're gonna see some Kaizo Mario levels pop up.
And they're gonna beat it, and we're all gonna look like suckers because we can't beat it.
Yep. But that one is probably, that game is probably one of the bigger reasons why I want to go out to PAX, because I'm hoping that they'll have that and I can try it out and get a feel for like what the game can do. That way I can come back home with my graph paper and start designing stuff.
It looked very, I tend to like games that have like level editors, but this one looked very user friendly, which I think that's good because that could potentially, for what they're hoping to be a mass market game, ease of use, if that wasn't there, that would turn off a lot of sales. But this looked like the sort of game you can jump right in and at least create, some basic levels.
I can do like a lot. Like they did some pretty complex things, it seemed like, with the tools given. So.
Yeah, we can make our own lost levels.
Yes. Maybe this is kind of a sucker punch, but the Mario Maker is everything I wanted the stage creation to be in Smash Brothers.
Oh.
Well, they can't put all their eggs in one basket.
Yeah, but I mean, for what, like the grid locking system is great, and but they didn't have that in the new Smash Brothers Brawl, or not Smash Brothers Brawl, sorry, Smash Brothers for Wii U. It's kind of like you freeform it with a pen, but like sometimes the stage didn't connect or the platforms didn't connect, or it's like, "Oh, we didn't register that, try again," and try again. And it was kind of a headache, and I longed for that grid snapping system that they had in Brawl, even though it was so much more limited.
Well, you just got to experience the darker side of game design. It's not all flowers and sunshine.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that people aren't designing levels using the Nintendo gamepad stylus.
This is very true. I'll give you that one.
Speaking of Smash, not to get off topic, but I was just thinking of it because they had like the mini direct before with like the Smash News and like Earthbound Beginnings, things like that. I think if they had put that in with the regular E3 show, I think the reception might have been a little bit better. Because James posted a really nice Purely Opinion showing in the past 3 months all the announcements Nintendo's made. And that's the way they do things as of late, but I think if they had saved some of those for E3, the general consensus would have been more exciting.
I have to say, Earthbound Beginnings, when I saw that trailer, that was my only squeal, like a little kid moment to C3. And so I think that kind of got me really excited for it, because it came out of left field. I was not expecting that game to finally make it legitimately to US shores. So I got a soft spot for the Mother Series, or Earthbound, whatever you want to call it.
Now all you gotta do is wait for Mother 3.
Which they said that they're not going to say no to. There is a possibility. So go out and buy, well, you don't have to go out, but go log on to your Wii's and buy both Earthbound titles.
Isn't like the work for Mother 3, isn't it already been like fan translated and whatnot,
It's
so.
been fan translated, yes, but we'd still like a legitimate copy, even if
Yeah.
they.
Oh no, I'm just saying for Nintendo. I think I remember they were like, "Here, Nintendo, take it, do what you want with it, free." Like,
They did offer.
which is cool. I mean, to get free translation, service, that's a lot of work.
It's a good translation too. I went through my second playthrough with it.
So I mean.
I actually own a legit Japanese copy, so I can say that I played the English version as a backup. But
Cool.
it's a legit translation. It's really good.
Yeah. So if I was Nintendo, it's like, "Hey, I'll take free labor." Sure.
Exactly. I think the thing that worries me the most about that is there's probably going to be a lot of censorship with that game. There's a lot of things that probably wouldn't translate well with the majority of like the US audience. There's one scene in particular with mushrooms that's you basically go on a mushroom trip. I don't know if that would translate too well in a Nintendo game over here in the US shores. But now we're getting off topic.
Oh yeah, it's my fault for bringing. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
If you
Let's
get me
keep moving
talking
down the
about
line
Mother, I get
here.
excited.
Let's see. I'm guessing nobody's as like nobody is as excited about Xenoblade X as I am, right?
Probably.
I am, but not as. I'd be more excited if I had my Wii copy. My friends borrowed it for like a year.
So you're not getting it back?
Well, no, they're like, I don't want to give it back till I've like 100%ed it, which, you
Like,
know. I'll
well,
never see it again. I'm
see
sorry.
you in 400 hours.
So I'm like, okay, as long as I know you still have it and you're still working on it, you know, that's fine. But, 'cause yeah, I'd only sunk in, you know, maybe 20%, 20, I don't know. I didn't get that far, even though I put a lot of time into it. So, I
Do
think
you
I'd be
have
more
seen True
excited.
Power of the Monado?
I think I'd be more excited.
Whoa, whoa,
Hey,
Justin.
Justin
Hey.
objects. I'm coming
Guest
in, sorry.
appearance.
And
How convenient. We were just talking about Xenoblade Chronicles X, and you show up.
That's like my favorite game, and it wasn't at E3.
They didn't have it physically on the floor?
Nope. No, it was not.
Travesties.
Yep. Although, well, it's still terrible, but they just had a TV showing the trailer on loop, and despite it not being there, it looked amazing. Like I don't know if it was the TV they had, but like the colors, everything just looked amazing. Like even the trailers they have on their YouTube didn't do it justice. So
Oh
I'm
man,
excited.
I can't wait.
Sorry I'm late. Sorry I'm very late. You guys are probably almost done.
Yep.
Nah, better late than never.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
We're
we want to
both
thank
there.
everybody for watching the CoopaCast, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Just kidding.
But yeah, we covered Star Fox Zero, and then we got in Xenoblade Chronicles X, so we're moving a little bit more down the line in the spectrum to less exciting. And I'm surprised nobody's brought up Triforce Heroes yet. But
Ah. Oh, waiting on that one.
if I had to put it anywhere in the spectrum, I guess it's there between, yeah, it's good. We'll see what happens, but you know.
It's on the threshold of like the more exciting news.
Yeah.
It's I think it's going to be a lot of fun, especially since I've gotten a chance to play Four Swords Adventures, which is what it's modeled after, in a sense. I've gotten to play that with friends, and it's a lot of fun when you're in the same room with someone, because then you can like mess with each other, and it's a lot of fun for that. But I think I'm a little worried about how they're going to do like the online, because it looked to me like they're going to use like the icons, and that's kind of how you communicate instead of voice chat. And for that, I feel like you might need voice chat. Then again, I haven't played it yet, so
Yeah, and
maybe
that's
Justin
always
will
in
be able
about
to
book
fill
too.
us in.
Yeah,
It's a fair point. Oh, go ahead, Justin.
well, sorry, I did get to play it at E3, and the set of icons they had like I think 8 or 10 of them or something on the touch screen. And they run a pretty wide gamut, I guess, of like, hey, come here, or yay, or you can say like totem up, or they had several different things like that. I'm hoping there'll be like maybe like several pages of those, kind of like in Mario Kart 8, where when you're kind of like hanging out with everyone before you race,
Oh yeah.
you've got like 6 pages or something, so you probably have like maybe 50, preset responses, but I think it'll work. It is a bummer that there isn't voice chat. I'm happy that there's online play, because
Oh yeah.
Four Swords hasn't, done that. It was always just local or something. So we'll see how it goes. But the game is really fun to play. The 3D is awesome in it, just like it was in A Link Between Worlds. It's using a very probably the same engine that they use for that. And I like how you can approach bosses with different items. I don't know if you guys saw the Treehouse Live, where they showed going up against the I forget the enemy's name, the green little
it looked like an electric chew or whatever.
Electric chew. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the Treehouse Live, they actually play that level using bombs instead of arrows.
It did not go well for them.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Like they, like even one of the producers of the game was in there, and they were not. I think there were like two other Treehouse people that were playing. That was when I was taking a break at E3, and we were just like, oh, we can just sit here and watch Treehouse. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. It looks like there's going to be a lot of variety. I hope that the campaign is pretty long, so we'll see.
I don't know if it'll be pretty long. I think it'll be like a decent size because they want to encourage multiplayer.
Right.
And you don't want a really long game with like, and you have to go to your friends every single time, which I guess you don't have to do with this game either because you can
do it online. Yeah, you could play locally and then.
But like you could do it by yourself. Like it could be a single player experience. You just kind of have to switch between the links.
Yeah.
Or whoever these guys are, I guess they're not Link.
There could be a tri sword or something that splits them into three instead of the four.
I feel like they said something though. Like these people aren't Link. They just like dress up like Link. They just dress up like the hero.
Yeah. I think they said something like that. Like they're trying to find like who is like the real hero. So they're all kind of like dressed up like it. And it's kind of like a contest.
Huh. Don't we already have like Tingle for that? Who dresses up like Link?
Yeah.
Well, he dresses up like a fairy, not specifically Link.
Oh yeah, I suppose so. I had a. I don't know if you guys know. Maybe Justin, you know, but I was looking at the listing on Nintendo's page for that.
Yeah.
And it said one or three players, not one, two, three. Yeah. Do you know? Is there a setup if you're playing two? Like the third can be like a doll or.
I didn't get to ask them about that when we were playing, but I did notice that when I was going through the assets when we got back, that would seem to indicate to me that it is either one or three. So potentially you could play single player and you've got two AI controlled dolls or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does seem strange that you wouldn't have an option to do two player with one AI character. I don't know.
Yeah. I think if that's confirmed, it is. That would probably be my highest ranked like 3DS retail release, especially with there's download play if I remember right.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Doing download
which play. I think is great. So yeah, I'll be curious to see what if they address that or if it's confirmed. It's definite one or three. I hope not, but we'll see.
Yeah. It was definitely a lot of fun. Like I feel like, you guys have probably talked about the digital event a little bit, but I think we definitely shared, you know, some of the disappointment in like some of the games that were announced. But I think it's because we, you know, set ourselves up for other announcements. But like Triforce Heroes is awesome. I think Federation Force is going to be great. I was going through some of the details on that, and that has online play, just like Triforce Heroes. I mean, they're very similar games. It seems like. They're both going to be like these co-op experiences. One of the cool things was in the campaign in Federation Force, you can actually all play cooperatively as you go along too. People can hop in and hop out as you're going along. So
cool.
So I'm more excited about that. I felt like they focused too much on Blast Ball, and that's just a mini game in Federation Force. I feel like it really didn't have much of a chance. When they started focusing on Blast Ball, because Blast Ball is not really as fun. But.
See, you needed to be here like 40 minutes ago when I was trying to convince the other two about that.
Yeah.
I was like, they did not need to focus that much on Blast Ball and the digital events, or at all, really, because to me, it sounded like they were really talking it up, like it was going to be a good chunk of the game.
Yeah.
But from what you said, it's going to be like a little mini game, a little side thing that you can do for fun.
Yeah, and like what they showed in the Treehouse, because they did a Treehouse Live, maybe like two of them later on about Federation Force, and it looks a lot cooler. Like they showed going through the single player, and you have like these, you know, big enemies that you're all trying to go after, and you know, kind of like this endless gauntlet type level, and so it looks like it's going to be really cool. And I was like, that's what you need to show. You know, it's like they showed so little of Federation Force in the digital event, at least seemingly to me. I haven't rewatched it, but It seemed like they focused a lot on Blast Ball. That was the lasting impression for most people.
Mm-hmm. And to me, it just didn't seem like it didn't look present as though like Nintendo had like faith in the title.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, well, here's Blast Ball. We're sorry.
Yeah. Well, and that was what was strange too. Blast Ball was the only mode that was playable at E3. They didn't even have Federation Force playable. But they had it on Treehouse Live, so it was obviously in a playable state. I don't know. It just seemed like an odd omission. But.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, but
yeah. Sorry, so, I got on a tangent, but
Zelda. No, that's fine. Everybody loves our Federation Force talk.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
All right. Real quick before we, what's up?
So what about Chibi Robo Ziplash, man?
Ooh,
I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
That looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, we did get to play that, and it is a lot of fun. I played one of the levels and then one of the boss battles. And it is a pretty different take on Chibi Robo games, as you know. It's a platformer. I mean, it's very similar to what like Kirby Triple Deluxe was. You know, polygonal 3D platformer, but still side scrolling on a 3DS. The 3D is amazing on it too. It works really well. The cord is really interesting.
So it kind of like ricochets off walls. You can kind of angle it to do trick shots.
Yeah. It's pretty fun, and it plays very well. Like, they did a nice job with the controls. And you can do lots of different things. Like, you could, in order to get up to like another platform, you could jump and just do a standard, you know, straight on ziplash type connection with your plug. Or you can just do like a 45 degree angle, or eventually you'll have to ricochet up a, you know, a long thing in order to zip up to the top. But it was very cool.
I think I'm more excited for that than Zelda, but just by a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Is the charm still there? The charm of Chibi Robo, like.
Yes, I think fans of the series will still enjoy it. It's definitely different, but. Even like the enemies that they give Chibi Robo to fight, like the boss was like this like rabbit kangaroo robot thing. So they're pretty fun, and the enemy designs are pretty ingenious. So I think people will like it.
Awesome. And of course they got the cool Chibi Robo amiibo.
Yeah.
That they showed off, which is going to be a.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool, the amiibo. I like how he's sitting down with the little plug on his head.
All right, and before we wrap this up, because we are going to be running a little long here soon. You know, just give me a quick impression of Nintendo's performance.
At E3 or just in general, or
in E3, this last E3.
I would definitely say. My impression was they had a lot of missed opportunities, and their message wasn't as, I don't know, like I felt like Star Fox could have showed a lot better. It definitely plays a lot better than what they showed. I definitely enjoyed my time with the game, but from what they showed and the fact that they didn't reveal that Platinum Games was involved in the digital event, I think hurt the game, because I think that reveal is pretty big. You know, because I think the single player will benefit from them. I think just through the whole digital event and all of E3, I felt like Nintendo shot themselves in the foot. They had several opportunities to, you know, hey, these games are awesome. But I don't know, I just felt like they didn't show them very well in the digital event. And then at E3, they were doing Treehouse Live throughout, which is great, and they showed more of Federation Force and, you know, some of these games that they really didn't touch on, you know, much in trailer form. But I felt like people needed to see the big things in that digital event, and, you know, most of the stuff they saved for Treehouse, which I think took away some of their steam.
All right. And before we wrap up, anybody else have anything to add?
I think I was neither excited or disappointed. I was kind of middle in the road with their performance, just going on from the digital event in the Treehouse. I almost get the feeling like the games that they showed off were just kind of like projects to keep us entertained. Like, there's a lot of, I get the feeling there's a lot of big stuff going on behind the scenes. Maybe that's why we didn't get some of the main series games that everyone was complaining about. That's just purely speculation, though. So, but that's the feeling I get. So.
All right, Trevor?
Like I said before, you know, I'm sure the games are going to be fun. I would have liked to have seen that one announcement that kind of just floored me. Didn't really get that, but that's not to say there weren't some surprises. I know I was really pleasantly surprised, like, to see like Vicarious Vision showing off the Amiibo Skylander hybrids. I thought that was I think that's a pretty big announcement, actually, because you take, you know, arguably the most popular Toys to Life franchise with the newest craze, the Amiibos, and you combine them. I think that's going to be a great opportunity for a Nintendo, especially. And, you know, it's hard not to get swept up in the negativity being, you know, journalists, because we read a lot, we talk a lot, but, you know, between like Mario Maker and Yoshi's Woolly World and, you know, these releases, I'm going to have fun, you know, this, you know, the fourth quarter. So I try to look at it optimistically. Yeah, it wasn't a knockout performance, but even a subpar Nintendo performance, it's good enough for me.
Yeah, agreed.
And I'll be waiting for a big one next year.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Well, next year will be NX, so. I mean, there you go. That's the big one.
Yeah, and potentially, I mean, they've always said the digital events work really well to show off software. If they have hardware to show off, potentially they might do some sort of a physical appearance again, a press conference or something. So.
Yeah. Well, it seems around. Traditionally too, like when Nintendo's had a subpar E3, like 2003 or the Wii Music year, like it seems like they've always bounced back to have a big performance next year.
Yep.
So that's something to look forward to.
All right, and with that, we're going to be wrapping up this KoopaCast. So, thank you all for watching. If you want to see more episodes of our KoopaCast, please go to our YouTube page. Just look up PNM, or you can go to youtube.com/purenintendo. You can also go to purenintendo.com/KoopaCast to look at our archive. If you want to ask us a question on our KoopaCast, we love answering our questions live, just like we just did. You could email us at podcast@koopacast.com, or you could also tweet at Pure Nintendo using the hashtag KoopaCast. So, with that, we will see you all in 2 weeks.